Well, thank you very much to the choir. That was wonderful. Appreciate the special music, especially on this holy day as we come together to worship God on this last day of unleavened bread. We have been celebrating the days of unleavened bread, recalling that God delivered Israel from their slavery in Egypt. Abusive, oppressive slavery. And that reminds us that God delivers us from our sins. Israel's deliverance from Egypt was by the miracles that God performed by means of the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Plagues. And especially the tenth plague that God brought upon Egypt, the death of the firstborn. And Israel left Egypt with a high hand in celebration. Shortly after their deliverance, a couple of months had gone by when they had left Egypt and were going through the wilderness. They were going through the desert and came to Mount Sinai. And God had Moses gather all the people together to give them an important calling that he had for all of them. God had something special in mind for the children of Israel. Please turn with me to Exodus chapter 19 to begin the sermon this morning, almost afternoon. It was mentioned in the sermon this last Sabbath that we've turned a lot to the book of Exodus during the days of unleavened bread, and we're going to start in the book of Exodus here this morning. Exodus chapter 19, and we will begin reading verse number 1. This is where the children of Israel had arrived at Mount Sinai. They had, for a couple of months, they had made their way through the desert, and they came to Mount Sinai, where they would be for almost a year. Exodus chapter 19, and let's begin reading in verse number 1, and we will read through verse number 6. Exodus 19, verse number 1, in the third month, after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, and again with a high hand in celebration, leaving their abusive slavery, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed from Rephidim, one of the places that they had camped in the wilderness, and had come to the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. Verse number 3, and Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. Moses went up to God on Mount Sinai, because that's where God's presence was. And remember that Moses had personally experienced God's presence in the account in Exodus chapter 3, the burning bush. And now he goes up to the mountain where God's presence was, and he's going to hear some important words from the great Creator God. Continuing on in verse number 4, God said to Moses, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Here we see a summary in this particular verse of what God had done for Israel, the mighty miracles that he had performed. The 10 plagues, Pharaoh's army drowned in the sea. We saw they had seen what God had done to the Egyptians. And also how he had provided for them for almost 3 months in the desert. And there have been calculations that approximately 2 million people came out of the slavery of Egypt. And God cared for them during that time. And he's reminding them of that. Verse number 5. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine, God says. God called Israel to obey him and to keep his covenant. And they were about to receive the covenant terms. And for accepting that and being obedient to God, they would be a special people above all the other peoples of the earth. Verse number 6, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, God said. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. God brought Israel out of the slavery of Egypt and desired for them to be a special people, to be a priestly nation, and an example to all the other nations of the world. Notice it says here in verse number 6, a holy nation. They were a people to be set apart, to be different from all the other people of the world, in what they were to become. And they were to be an example of how being obedient to God changes a people. What an opportunity that Israel had. They had a tremendous opportunity. And also the blessings that God promised them if they would be obedient to Him and keep committed to God. The key words here in this section of Scripture are, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant. Now we know from the history of Israel, written and recorded in the Scriptures, that in the long run, Israel did not obey God. And we know that the people that came out of the slavery of Egypt, those that were 20 years of age and older, died in the wilderness because of their rebellion and their disobedience. And there are lessons in these stories that we read and talk about. And one of the lessons of the days of unleavened bread is that Israel failed in their calling. Israel failed in their calling. What a tremendous opportunity they had. And yet they failed. So let me ask the question. How can we apply that lesson to our own spiritual lives as disciples? We do not want to fail in our calling. We don't want to fall backwards. God has called us with a special calling to understand His plan for mankind and to be examples to the world of God's way of life. We do not want to neglect our calling, nor do we want to fail. Let's go now to a section of Scripture that's extremely valuable to us as we conclude these days of unleavened bread. Let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 1 through 11. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. These are words from the Apostle Peter. And remember, Peter was one of those disciples that followed Jesus Christ. He heard the sermons that He preached. He saw the miracles that He performed. He was one of the apostles that was with Jesus Christ in the upper room, where they partook of the New Testament symbols of the Passover, which we observed just a week ago. He was also one that was taught by Jesus Christ after they left the upper room on the way to Gethsemane. He was teaching them in what we read in John chapter 15 and John chapter 16, teaching them about the Holy Spirit and abiding with Him. Christ had many important words to expound to us as disciples. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's addressing those that have been called out, those that are disciples, addressing us. Continuing on, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord, and of Jesus our Lord. Verse number 3. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Open our minds to understand God's promise of eternal life in His kingdom. The promises that He has given to us. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Called us, just like He called ancient Israel together to commit to worship Him and obey Him, God has called us. Verse number 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. And notice the last part of verse number 4, and this is part of the message of the days of unleavened bread. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Escaping this world and the darkness that is in this world. Then we come to verse number 5. In verses 5 through 7, Peter gives us as disciples some very, very important admonition. And this is admonition for all of us. Those that have been called. Verse number 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, he says, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge. Verse 6, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness. Verse 7, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And notice what Peter says in verses 8 and 9. For if these things, the things we just read in verses 5 through 7, are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We won't be unfruitful, spiritually speaking, if those things abound in us. Verse number 9, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, spiritual blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. And that has a message that can be expounded as far as baptism is concerned, one who has had their old sins forgiven, and also looking back at Passover, our sins forgiven. In verse number 10, because of all these things that Peter has spoken of previously, he says in verse number 10, therefore, brethren, and that's you and I, be even more diligent. Okay, verse number 5, he said already, giving all diligence. Now he repeats it, saying, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, what we read in verses 5 through 7, you will never stumble. That's an amazing statement for us as disciples. You will never stumble if you do these things. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here's the emphasis that Peter makes. Giving all diligence, being even more diligent to make your call and election sure. We have come to the conclusion of the days of unleavened bread. Now we have a challenge, and the Apostle Peter has given us that challenge. As called out disciples, we are to go forward this coming year, but not to fail as the nation Israel had done. The Apostle Peter admonishes disciples to make our calling sure, and he shows us how. And let me add, we have help to do it. The title of today's sermon is, Be Diligent to Make Your Calling Sure. Be diligent to make your calling sure. Today, on this last day of unleavened bread, let's examine the character qualities to make our calling sure. And we've read them in verses 5 through 7. As we go forward the rest of this year, developing the list of character qualities that Peter listed in verses 5 through 7 helps us to make our calling sure. And again, let me add, and we have help to do that by means of God's Holy Spirit. So we're going to examine what's listed in verses 5 through 7, these important character qualities, to make our calling and election sure, and so that we never stumble. Our calling is something marvelous and precious. Jesus Christ said, we won't turn there, but you can put this in your notes if you'd like to. Matthew 22, verse 14, Christ said, many are called, but few are chosen. God has called us out of a world of darkness and blessed us with precious truth and the important knowledge of his plan for all of mankind, which is outlined by God's holy days, And of course, we're keeping one of those holy days today, the last day of unleavened bread. It is precious truth. So I've got a couple important questions for all of us assembled here today. Do we take our calling seriously? Do we take our calling seriously? And do we take advantage of the opportunity we have been given? As I mentioned earlier, Israel was given tremendous opportunity, tremendous promises by God. And we have been given tremendous opportunity and promises as well. And Peter admonished us that we need to make our calling and election sure and diligently working at it. Again, looking at verse number 10, the last part, he said, if you do these things, referring to the character qualities of verses 5 through 7, you will never stumble. You won't fall back like Israel did, in other words. And this is a wonderful promise from the Apostle Peter. You won't fall back. That's a wonderful promise. Put a marker here in 2 Peter chapter 2. Actually, I hope you do have a marker with you here today because we're going to be flipping back and forth quite a bit. I've got a marker here that was given to Lydia and I at the Feast of Tabernacles in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico in 2017. And so I'm using that here today. But let's go to Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. And we're going to read verses 22 through 24. I turned to this section of scripture on the first day of unleavened bread when I spoke to Jonesboro in Memphis, and I want to hit it again today because this is so very important to learn this lesson that Israel fell back. And there's a title to this section of scripture. It's Israel went back to Egypt in their hearts. Jeremiah chapter 7. And we'll read verses 22 through 24. Jeremiah chapter 7, beginning in verse number 22. God says this, verse 22, for I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. Verse 23, but this is what I commanded them, saying, we read this in Exodus 19. Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. God promised it would be well with them. They would be blessed for obedience and commitment to him. But then the tragedy we read in verse 24. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and dictates of their evil hearts and went backward and not forward. And that's one of the great lessons of the days of unleavened bread and reading these examples and going over them year upon year is how Israel had that great opportunity. The blessings of the promised land were ahead of them. And yet they fell backward. And we don't want to fall backwards as called out individuals in the church. One of the biggest problems that the people of God have had during the millennia of time is going back into sin after being called out of it. Going back into sin after being called out of it. And we heard in the sermonette this morning, it isn't over until it's over. We've got a lot of work to do beyond these days of unleavened bread so that we can go forward, spiritually speaking. So let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1 again, and let's examine these important qualities that Peter listed so that we can avoid falling backward to go forward spiritually from the days of unleavened bread. Again, 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll pick it up in verse number 3 again. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. He says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. And again, it's a very special calling that God has called us to. Believers to a special calling. God, by means of his word, teaches us how to live a godly life. how to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, or what we would call simply to go on to conversion. That's what each and every one of us wants to do. And when we counsel to be baptized, and we wanted to be baptized, to have our sins forgiven, buried under that water symbolically, and to be brought up out of that water, to walk a new life, we wanted to follow God and His words and His ways. Of course, we have the hands laid upon us to receive the Holy Spirit to help us to do that, to go on to conversion. Here it says, the divine power given to us in verse number 3. That's the work of the Spirit of God with the help and the gifts to live a converted life. And he also says at the last part of verse number 3, called us by glory and virtue. Glory, reflecting upon God's great glory. And virtue, godly standards. God's very character are standards for us. Continuing on, verse number 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Great promises, wonderful promises, to be part of the family of God, in the kingdom of God, and also our serving and helping Jesus Christ in the kingdom. Those are precious promises. Continuing on, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. One of the things that we talk about during the days of unleavened bread, getting away from this world and escaping this world. What we've been learning and focusing on during the days of unleavened bread. What the Apostle Paul called in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, purging out the old leaven. And that's something we focus on during these days of unleavened bread, but we must continue to focus on that throughout the rest of the year as we go forward. Now we come to verse number 5. And this is where Peter gives us this very wonderful admonition to those of us that have been called out. And remember, he said, if you do these things, you will never stumble. And that's what we're going to read here. And we're going to look at these character qualities listed in verse number 5-7. There's 8 of them. There's 8 of the character qualities here. And you know, if you go in the Companion Bible, at the back of the Companion Bible, there's an appendix there where it has all kinds of good information. And there's a section where it gives the significance of numbers. You know, there's a significance to the numbers in the Bible. And the number 8 has a significance, which I think relates to these character qualities here. The number 8 signifies a new beginning. A new beginning. And that corresponds to what happens after we're baptized. And we come up out of that water, a new beginning to go on to conversion. But it also corresponds to what we've been talking about during these days of unleavened bread. Coming out of sin, purging the old sin out of our lives, and going forward, walking with God. What we call going on to conversion. All of these qualities that we're going to read and go through are essential for us to go forward from the days of unleavened bread, to make spiritual progress, and to develop character. Now let me say before I get into each one of these that these are sermon subjects by themselves. In fact, as I was going through this, I've given sermons over these particular character qualities during the years. I think one or two of them were even actually multiple sermons. So I can't give you multiple sermons here today. We're just going to touch briefly upon them. Then I challenge you to do your own study on these. You know, whether it's looking up these words on the website, on our website, putting it into the search engine, or if you don't have internet access to get out of concordance, whatever you can do to study and learn from these. Because they're going to help us not to stumble. Okay, verse number 5. Peter says this, but also, for this very reason, giving all diligence. We have to be diligent each and every day. The New International Version translates this, make every effort. Make every effort. A zeal and commitment. to put these character qualities into your life. And again, please do your own study on these. It will be very worthwhile. Continuing on, he's the first one here that is listed. Add to your faith, he says. Add to your faith. Something else that I want to bring out to your attention before we go on to this list is I'm reading in the New King James Version here. And it says, to faith, to virtue, to self-control, etc. If you're reading in the King James Version, there's seven ands in there, which the New King James didn't put in there. Seven ands in this particular section. And seven has a significance as a number as well. Seven is the number of completeness and spiritual perfection, a mark of the Holy Spirit's work. And these are part of the Holy Spirit's work. Okay, so the first character quality here that Peter admonishes us to give all diligence to is faith. Faith. It comes from the Greek word pistis, which is spelled P-I-S-T-I-S. And I think we all know that faith is where it starts in the conversion process. We have to have faith. Faith is where it starts. It is the conviction that what God says is true. The conviction that what God says is true. That the promises are true. And of course, faith is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 22. Hold your place here in 2 Peter. And let's just go a few pages back to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. As we're discussing this very important character quality of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. And here in verse number 6 of chapter 11, we have a definition of faith. If you want to define faith, this is it. Hebrews 11, verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We have to have faith in our worship of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's a definition of faith, that important character quality that can help us to not stumble. Then we have all these heroes of faith listed in chapter 11. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of the things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Verse number 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to the place he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Abraham left his hometown, which was Ur of the Chaldees, left his family, the friends that he had. He was 75 years old, and he made a 1,000-mile journey to the Promised Land because he had to take the long way around following the rivers so that they'd have a water source for their animals and family, etc. Not knowing where he was going, but he had faith that God was going to take care of him along the way, and he knew the promises that God had made. So very important for us to have faith as a character quality. Remember in Luke chapter 18 and verse number 8, Christ asked the question, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Just before that time when he comes to this earth, is he really going to find people of the character quality of faith? We have to be developing that in our lives and keep that in mind as we go forward. Let's go back to 2 Peter now and let's continue on. I wish I could give a whole sermon on faith right now, but we have to move on here. Let's go to the second character quality here, and that's listed here in verse number 5, from faith to virtue. To virtue. What is virtue, you might say? Well, it comes from the Greek word arete, which is spelled A-R, E-T-E. And it means moral excellence. Moral excellence. It also can mean goodness, which is one of the character qualities of God. A character of quality of God in Christ. Moral excellence, which can also mean godly standards or a right way of living. Living a righteous life. You can put in your notes Psalm 119 verse 172. Psalm 119 verse 172, where it says, "All your commandments are righteousness." A virtuous life is one who is following God, obeying the commandments, morally living a righteous life. The last part of verse number 3 says, "Who called us by glory and virtue," which is God's character, which are a means to go on to conversion. We have to be living by God's moral standards, and that's a very important part of going forward. Hold your place again in 2 Peter chapter 1, and let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And we'll read verse number 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. The Apostle Paul writing to the brethren in Philippi here, to the brethren and to us as brethren as well. Philippians 4 verse 8, he says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue," again, moral standards, righteous living, "if there's any virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Qualities of a Christian, moral values to meditate upon, the Apostle Paul wrote here in verse number 8. In other words, we could say, to live a virtuous life is being the best example of a Christian that we can. Godly character. Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1 again and go on to the next character quality to help us, to keep us from stumbling and falling backwards. The last part of verse number 5, we go from virtue to knowledge. Knowledge is the next character quality here. Our English word knowledge comes from the Greek gnosis, which is spelled G-N-O-S-I-S. And Vine's Dictionary of New Testament Words defines knowledge like this: a seeking to know, especially of spiritual knowledge. Let me repeat that. A seeking to know, especially of spiritual knowledge. So when Peter wrote this knowledge down here, gnosis, he wasn't just talking about what's up here in our brain knowledge. He was talking about seeking knowledge. Seeking knowledge from God's Word. Spiritual knowledge. As William Barclay adds, gnosis is that knowledge which enables people to decide to take the right course in life. To take the right course in life rather than the wrong one. And that's another one of the lessons of the days of unleavened bread. Taking that right course, the right path, instead of the path of darkness in the way of Satan. The false teachers of the first century AD, which were rampant in this day when Peter was writing, and the other apostles were writing as well, claimed to have a superior knowledge. But they actually twisted the truth. And that has continued down throughout the ages, which is why there is so much false information and false religion in the world today and that has been throughout the centuries. But we are to be seeking to know, especially a spiritual knowledge. You can put this in your notes, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, which in the King James Version says, "Study to show yourself approved." That character quality of seeking to know spiritual knowledge. Let's go to put the marker here in 2 Peter chapter 1, and let's go to Romans 15. Romans chapter 15. And I forgot to bring my water up here. I'm already getting dry. See how long I can last. Okay. Getting ready maybe for the Day of Atonement. That's still 6 months away, though. Okay. Romans chapter 15. And notice verse number 4. Romans 15, verse number 4. Again, we're talking about this character quality of seeking knowledge from God's Word. Verse 4, for whatever things were written before, you know, this what we have in front of us in our Bibles and the Scriptures, were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And we do have hope. God has revealed that hope to us, the knowledge of His coming kingdom and the wonderful world tomorrow, which other people do not even have a glimpse of. Dropping down to verse number 14, Paul says this, Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all the knowledge, to do what? Able to admonish one another. That means putting that knowledge to use, to teach others. We have the opportunity to do that when it avails us to teach somebody today, but even more importantly in the future, to teach people in God's kingdom, that opportunity that's been given to us. One of the character qualities to help us, to keep us from stumbling. Study to show yourself approved. Let's go back to 2 Peter again, and let's look at the next character quality. This time to verse number 6. To knowledge, self-control. Self-control is the next character quality to keep us, to help keep us from stumbling and falling backwards. If you're reading in the King James Version, the translation is temperance. Temperance or self-control. It comes from the Greek word enkrateia, which is spelled E-N-K-R-A-T-E-I-A. And here's a very important statement from Vine's Dictionary regarding this temperance or self-control. And this is something that we need as we go forward from the days of unleavened bread. Listen to this definition. This is self-control or temperance. The controlling power of the will under the operation of the Spirit of God. Let me repeat that. The controlling power of the will under the operation of the Spirit of God. We all have will. We all have to turn one way or the other. And God's Spirit can help us to turn that right way. Self-control is, again, looking to God through our will, by means of His Holy Spirit, to be obedient and to build character. As William Barclay puts it, self-control or temperance is the ability to take a grip of oneself. That's an interesting thought. Ability to take a grip of oneself. If we start to stray down the wrong path, whoops, hold on, take a grip, turn back and go the right way. That's what self-control and temperance is. It's the opposite of greed and uncontrolled lust that not only existed in the ancient world, but in today's world as well. Self-control, temperance is what we need to work on as we go forward from the days of unleavened bread. Working on the self, the problems, and the sins as we go forward from the days of unleavened bread. Going forward towards the next part of God's plan, the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came to the church. That power that gives us that help that we need as we are human beings. Self-control or temperance is another one of the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 23. And we can ask God to help us to have this and develop this important fruit as we go forward from the days of unleavened bread. What a wonderful thing to ask. Continuing on now, let's go to the next character quality to help us keep us from stumbling. We go from self-control in verse number 6 to perseverance. Or in the King James Version, it's called patience. Perseverance or patience. Comes from the Greek hupomone, which is spelled H-U-P-O, M-O-N-E. And that literally means steadfastness, constancy. It can also be translated endure. We know that famous quote by Christ, "He who endures to the end shall be saved." Perseverance, patience, endurance. Not giving up on our road to the kingdom. And it always has a background of courage. Expositors. Oh, thank you, Larry. Very much appreciated. So good. I have a comment now regarding perseverance, patience, this enduring, which comes from Expositor's commentary regarding the days of unleavened bread. It says this: perseverance is the ability to continue in the faith and resist the pressures of the world. Again, another important aspect of going forward from the days of unleavened bread. Let me repeat that from Expositors. Perseverance is the ability to continue in the faith and resist the pressures of the world. Perseverance, patience, one of those godly characteristics to help us to continue on and not fall back. Hold your place in 2 Peter chapter 1, and let's go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. And we're going to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4. This is a very encouraging example that Paul was writing to the brethren in Thessalonica, the church there. Some very encouraging words he had for those people, those called out ones of his day and time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and let's begin reading in verse number 1. We read, "Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 2. "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." And notice what we read in verse 3 and 4. "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren." He was thankful for these people as brethren. "As it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other." And verse number 4, "so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God." He was talking about them to other churches that he preached to, about the example of the brethren in Thessalonica. "We boast of you among the other churches of God." For what? "For your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure." The brethren in Thessalonica were going through lots and lots of tribulations and trials. And yet they were enduring. They were persevering through those trials. They were going forward. And the Apostle Paul recognized that, and we're reading about that here in this section of Scripture. He praised them for their patience and faith in the face of persecution. A very huge compliment. And I know many, many of you are going through your trials and your tribulations. Some of them are health issues. Some of them are family issues. Some of them are issues at work. Maybe even having to take off for the holy days. Things that you go through. They are trials for us. But one of those character qualities that helps us to go forward is enduring those trials and those patience. Continuing to go forward. Continuing on, verse number 5, because they endured in patience in their persecutions and tribulations. Verse 5, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, which you also suffer. There's a goal, there's a promise there waiting for us in the future. And we go through those trials and those tribulations, and we suffer. And there's a reason for it. That's another sermon topic, why we go through those trials and those tribulations, so we can help people in the future and teach them. I don't want to get off on another sermon subject. Counted worthy of the kingdom of God. Perseverance and patience, a character quality to keep us from stumbling, spiritually speaking. Let's go back to 2 Peter now and take a look at the next character quality to keep us going forward. Verse number 6. It says, from perseverance to godliness. Godliness. What is godliness? Well, that comes from the Greek word eusebia, which is spelled E-U-S-E-B-E-I-A. And again, Vine's dictionary says, godliness is to be devout, characterized by a Godward attitude. Let me repeat that. To be devout, characterized by a Godward attitude, in other words, always focusing on God, and doing that which is well-pleasing to Him. Doing that which is well-pleasing to Him. Godliness. In other words, we could say, a deep devotion and commitment to God. A deep devotion and commitment to God. And you know, we all make that commitment when we make that commitment for baptism. We read in the sermon, during the sermon at time today, that scripture in Luke 9, verse 62, no man having put his hand to the plow is fit for the kingdom of God if he's going backwards. And I'm paraphrasing. We don't want to be going backwards. We want to be forward. We commit to God and we go forward. And that's what godliness is. Expositors adds this. Godliness is a very practical awareness of God in every aspect of life. An awareness of God in every aspect of life. Not just when we come to church on the Sabbath day and we meet on the holy days, but the rest of our life as well. As we go to school, we go to work, and we're around our families. A very practical awareness of God in every aspect of life. Hold your place here in 2 Peter 1, and let's go to 2 Peter 3, just a page or so forward. Don't have to go too far this time. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 11. We're going to focus on verse 11, but let's start in verse number 10. Just a page over, 2 Peter chapter 3. He talks about the events of the day of the Lord that will be coming in the future at Christ's return. Verse number 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, he says in verse number 11, this is what I want to focus on, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? And that gives us a good understanding of what godliness is here, the last part of verse number 11. Holy conduct and godliness. And that's what God called Israel to be, a holy nation, to be an example to the rest of the world, and they failed. Let's not us fail. Let us be, have good, do what's pleasing to God, and good conduct in our lives going forward from the days of unleavened bread. Back to 2 Peter chapter 1, just a page back this time. Let's look at the next character quality to help us keep going forward. And that is in verse number 7, we go from godliness to brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. That comes from a Greek word, Philadelphia. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Philadelphia, which literally means a love of the brethren. A love of the brethren. A love to all of our brethren. Love of the brethren and one another should characterize all disciples. We could also call it the foot-washing attitude to love, help, and serve one another. Let's go just a few pages back. Hold your place in 2 Peter 1. And let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, talking about brotherly kindness, a love of the brethren, the Philadelphia kind of love. 1 Peter chapter 3, and notice verse number 8. First Peter chapter 3 and verse number 8. Finally, all of you, This includes all of us reading these scriptures today. Be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous. Now let's go a page forward to chapter 4, verse number 8. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 8. And above all things, verse number 8 of chapter 4, above all things have fervent love for one another. And what will that do? Here's another, as we go forward from the days of unleavened bread. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Love of the brethren covers a multitude of sins. And this quality, brotherly kindness, Philadelphia love, a love of the brethren, is a quality to help us purge out the old leaven out of our lives and go forward in character growth. Finally, let's look at this last character quality to help us to keep from stumbling and to go forward. Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1 again, just a page or so forward. Here in the last part of verse number 7, we go from brotherly kindness, that Philadelphia love, to love. That's the last character quality listed here. You know, it's interesting, before I get into this, it starts with faith, these character qualities, and ends with love. Love here, if you're reading in the King James Version, it's charity. Comes from the Greek agape, spelled A-G-A-P-E, A-G-A-P-E. And it literally means outgoing concern for others while not expecting anything in return. Outgoing concern for others while not expecting anything in return. And we know one of the definitions of God is love. Let's go to hold your place here again in 2 Peter 1, and let's go to 1 John chapter 4, just a few pages forward. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 8. Scripture that's familiar to all of us. 1 John 4, verse 8, John writes, and John was one of those apostles that was with Jesus Christ in the upper room, was taught by him, understands so much of what God and Christ taught. 1 John 4 and verse 8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. The love of God which comes from God, who is himself love, which is one of the first fruits in the list of the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 22. Love is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Continue to hold your place in 2 Peter chapter 1, and let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we'll read verses 4 through 8. 1 Corinthians, this is often called 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. Charity in the King James Version. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. And we talked about that in the first day of unleavened bread. We get the leaven out of our lives. Don't be puffed up, because that's what sin does. You know, it's like leavening. It grows and becomes stronger and stronger, like a snowball, as it was described in the sermonette today. Is not puffed up. Verse 5, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Verse 7, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And verse number 8, love never fails. Outgoing concern for others. God is love. It's the kind of character quality that we have to develop. Love must become a part of our character, again, to help us to continue to go forward. Now let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1 and continue on here with verse number 8. As Peter summarizes what he has talked about in this list of character qualities, we've briefly gone through them here today, how important they are for all of us. Verse number 8, we read this previously, but now let it sink in. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful spiritually in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If these qualities abound in us, become part of our character in life, we will not be spiritually unproductive. We will be spiritually productive because we are using the precious knowledge God has given us. Verse number 9. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness. Spiritual blindness. And we don't want to be spiritually blind as we go forward from the days of unleavened bread. Not to be using these important qualities is to be nearsighted and spiritually blind. In the last part of verse number 9, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Not developing these qualities leads to one forgetting the cleansing of the old sins, the lessons that we learn and have learned during these days of unleavened bread. In verse number 10, therefore, brethren, and I think we have a better understanding, and again, continue to study these character qualities. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. And he tells us how we can do that, what we just read. If you do these things, you will never stumble. Make the effort, the diligent effort, to develop these character qualities. But you know what? We have help. You know, we are human. We do have our human weaknesses. We have human nature. But we have help to put these character qualities and develop them and make them part of our lives. And that is the help of the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit working in us. And that's going to be the next holy day, less than 50 days from now, the Feast of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit came to the church, that power that works within disciples to help them to develop and grow in character. And that can help us as well to go forward and develop these important character qualities. Let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We're winding down here now. John chapter 14. This is where Christ was in the upper room with the disciples. They had just partaken of the New Testament symbols of the Passover. They had done the foot washing ceremony. They had partaken of the bread and the wine. And in John chapter 14, Christ is teaching the disciples who would become the apostles and teaching us as well. And in this section, beginning in John 14, verse 12, he teaches about the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit can do for us as disciples. John chapter 14 and verse number 12, he says this, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do." And notice this, "And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." And as we continue to read on, he's talking about the Holy Spirit that would come upon them and pointing to the day of Pentecost as he was teaching them about the Holy Spirit. He's encouraging the disciples in this section of Scripture because he knew that they were going to be facing their own trials and tribulations. In fact, all of them were martyred except for the Apostle John, and he was exiled to the island of Patmos as a Roman prisoner. They went through their trials and their tribulations. And he was teaching them that they're going to have help in what they were going to be doing. Notice he said here, talking to the disciples, greater works they would do. He says, the works that I do, he will do also. Now we know Christ performed many miracles, tremendous healings. He fed the 5,000, including raising the dead. So how could he say that believers would do greater works? Well, greater works are not necessarily the physical. Greater works are those that are spiritual. They change a person. It's what we call the process of conversion. Those were greater works that Christ was referring to here in John chapter 14. The greater works, the spiritual works, were seen In what the apostles did starting on Pentecost when they received the Holy Spirit. Remember in Acts chapter 2, there were 3,000 converted after Peter had given that tremendous sermon. And more and more became part of the church. Greater works are the spiritual, what we call the process of conversion. So what kind of great works will help people in our day, disciples and brethren, with the help of the Holy Spirit? How does the Holy Spirit help us? Well, to develop the character qualities that we examined today, those in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Ask God, by means of the Holy Spirit, help me to develop these individual character qualities, especially as we go forward from the days of unleavened bread. God would love to hear that from us in our prayers. Also it says, I'm not going to turn there, but in Matthew chapter 13, well, let's go ahead and turn there real quick. I wasn't going to turn there, but let's go there. Matthew chapter 13. This is the section of scripture where Christ was given the parable of the sower and the seed. And he was speaking in parables, and the disciples didn't understand. Now, why are you speaking to these crowds in parables? And they asked him a question. Why are you speaking in parables? Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 10 and 11. Because this is very germane to what we're talking about, the Holy Spirit helping us. Matthew 13, verse number 10. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? In verse 11, he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you, you disciples, and that's us as well, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. God has opened our minds to understand the knowledge of his truth, his plan of salvation. And the Holy Spirit helps us to understand even more and to grasp more as God leads us and as that Holy Spirit is developed within us. The Holy Spirit gives us more vision, the desire to focus on and make God's kingdom a reality in our life. The number one thing we seek for, seek first the kingdom of God. And that's what it helps us to do. Greater works? You bet. Understanding more of God's plan and his word and the promises there. Finally, let's go to Romans chapter 5. Again, we ask God for the help through his Holy Spirit to developing those important character qualities so that we don't stumble, that we continue to go forward. And especially to develop that last one, that character quality of love. Romans chapter 5. This is the last scripture today in this sermon. This is what we would call more greater works. Romans chapter 5. And verse number 5. Romans chapter 5. And verse number 5, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. Poured out in our hearts, the Holy Spirit and God's love being developed within us. God's love is a product of the Holy Spirit. God's love is a difference that the Holy Spirit makes. It allows us to do those greater works. The greater works to care for our fellow man. To serve in ways that we never would have done before. And also the desire to see others to come to salvation according to God's will and his plan. And also to develop those character qualities, those important character qualities that we have gone through today in 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 5 through 7. Peter said, and remember this, if you do these things, you will never stumble. And as we go forward now from the days of unleavened bread, let's be determined to learn and develop these character qualities so that we do not stumble, spiritually speaking. And so that we can develop godly character on our road to the kingdom of God. May you all have a blessed last day of unleavened bread, and to all of you that are assembled online as well.